Let's look to the Lord in prayer once again. Father, we're thankful that we can spend this time now in our service looking into your word. I pray that you would have our hearts. We're going to read about people whose hearts you did not have. And I pray that we might stop, consider, listen, be honest with you, be honest with ourselves, be glorified in this, and we'll thank you in your name. Amen. Andrew, let's call this one, What's Going On in Your Heart? What's going on in your heart? The nation of Israel had a problem. And there was evidence of that many places. For instance, turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 6. Ezekiel chapter 6. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them and say, You mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, To the mountains, to the hills, to the rivers, and to the valleys. Have you ever considered preaching to mountains, rivers, valleys, and hills? That's what the Lord told the prophet Ezekiel to do. And he said, Behold, this was the word to the mountains, rivers, hills, and valleys. Behold, I will bring a sword upon you and will destroy your high places, and your altars shall be desolate, and your images shall be broken. And I will cast down your slain men before your idols. I will lay the dead carcasses of the children of Israel before their idols, and I will scatter your bones round about your altars. In all your dwelling places, the cities shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate, that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate, and your idols may be broken and cease, and your images may be cut down, and your works may be abolished, and the slain shall fall in the midst of you, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Yet will I have a remnant, that you may have some that shall escape the sword among the nations, when you shall be scattered through the countries. And they that escape of you shall remember me among the nations whither they shall be carried captives, because I am broken with their whorish heart, which hath departed from me, and with their eyes which go a-whoring after their idols. And they shall loathe themselves for the evils which they have committed in all their abominations. And they shall know that I am the Lord, and that I have not said in vain that I would do this evil unto them. Thus saith the Lord, Smite with thine hand, stamp with thy foot, and say, Alas, for all the evil abominations of the house of Israel, for they shall fall by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. He that is far off shall die of the pestilence. He that is near shall fall by the sword. And he that remaineth and is besieged shall die by the famine. Thus will I accomplish my fury upon them. Then shall you know that I am the Lord, when their idols round about their altars upon their high hills, in all the... Thus shall you know that I am the Lord, when their slain men shall be among their idols round about their altars upon every high hill, in all the tops of the mountains and under every green tree and under every thick oak, the place where they did offer sweet savor unto all their idols. So I will stretch out my hand upon them and make the land desolate, yea, more desolate than the wilderness toward Diblath in all their abominations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. But Ezekiel wasn't the only prophet that addressed the problems of Israel. Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 57, verses 4 and 5, he too spoke of it. Isaiah 57, verses 4 and 5. Against whom do you sport yourselves? Against whom make you a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are you not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood, inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys under the cliffs of the rocks? Jeremiah adds his word as well in Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. Jeremiah said this, "Where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? Let them arise if they can save thee in the time of your trouble. For according to the number of thy cities are your gods, O Judah. Wherefore will you plead with me? Ye all have transgressed against me, saith the Lord." Despite all of the appeals from God and his prophets down through the ages to worship him, to serve him, to follow and obey him alone, God's people had repeatedly turned to the gods of the world and had filled their land with symbols, objects, and centers of false worship. Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, each of them spoke of it in the references we read. Jeremiah perhaps was the most descriptive in this last reference we looked at when he said, "According to the number of your cities are your gods, O Judah." We talked about this on our Wednesday night study in Jeremiah. That's a lot of gods, isn't it? That you have a god for every city, and you have multitudes of them. Could there be anything worse for the people of God than the fact that they had all of these objects of false worship that they had turned to? And at the time Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah were speaking, they were still worshiping them. Now, Ezekiel, what's the context of this? Ezekiel was one of the prophets that was with the people in Babylon when they were carried away. He was one of the ones that was there with them, preaching to them, sharing God's message. Turn, if you would, to Ezekiel 14. Ezekiel 14. And I want us to see this which occurred now in Babylon. The captivity was taking place. The other prophets and the other references, they had spoken of God's judgment that was going to be coming upon them. But when we get to this 14th chapter, they're there. They're in the land of Babylon. And we pick up at verse 1 of chapter 14. Then came certain of the elders unto me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me. Ezekiel is writing here, and he is saying, these men, some of the elders came and they sat down before me, Ezekiel the prophet. And when they did that, the Lord spoke to Ezekiel and said, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Repent, turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, and setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. I will set my face against that man and will make him a sign and a proverb and will cut him off from the midst of my people, and you shall know that I am the Lord. As we look back at these eight verses, and we want to just take a minute and look at some of the things that are here. Sitting before a prophet was usually a sign of what? Do you know? Wasn't that kind of a sign of we're interested in knowing what message the Lord might have for us? If a person comes and sits before a prophet, how could we modernize that? Why are you coming and sitting before a preacher? Well, it's it's kind of the thing to do. You know, what else are you going to do on Sunday? Hopefully, you come because you're interested in hearing the word of the Lord, interested in worshiping the Lord, interested in gathering with those of like faith to be encouraged and be an encouragement to other believers. When you come and sit before a man of God, it's usually a sign that we want to hear God's message. We want to know what God has to say to us. Well, let's learn at least three things from this passage. And I'd just like to call your attention to three things. You might think of more than three. But the first thing I'd like to suggest is the depravity of their hearts. The depravity of their hearts. Knowing full well that their misery, their very captivity in a foreign land was brought on by their rejection of God and their worship of false gods, still we find their sinful heart yearned for the forbidden. Why do you say that? Why do you say that? Because what did we read in verse 4? The message when these men came and sat before Ezekiel, God said, Ezekiel, I want to tell you something. Speak unto them and say unto them in verse 4, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and his iniquity before his face, I'm going to answer him according to the multitude of the idols. As we think about this, what point are you trying to make, Pastor? The point that I'm trying to make is this. When they were in their own land before the captivity, what was the landscape, what was the land filled with? Idols, high places, altars to false gods. But they weren't in the land anymore. They had been carried away. Now they're in Babylon. They can't go under green trees and worship. They don't have altars and idols to bow down to. They're captives. They're not free to choose as they want and do what they please. But what is the condition of their hearts? What do we see here? We see the depravity of their hearts. These people knew full well why they were in Babylon. They knew why they had been carried away. It's because they had turned against the Lord and had worshiped everything that was false. That's why they were where they were in Babylon. In spite of that, what is the condition of their hearts? What were they doing? What's it tell us? Pardon? They were worshiping in their hearts. They were still thinking back. They were still envisioning that favorite place under that green tree where they would go and bow down to a certain idol. And that altar, that they would offer sacrifices to another false god. They weren't able to be doing it actually, but what were they doing? They were doing it where? They were doing it in their hearts. Does that matter, yes or no? Sure it matters. Someone said, you can take the boy out of the country, but you can't what? Take the country out of the boy. They were miles and miles away from the idols and the altars back home, but they had erected altars, idols, in their hearts. Thus the title. What's going on in your heart? What's going on in your heart? You say, well, I'm not worshiping. I don't have places where there's false things going on. But what's going on in our hearts? Second thing that we would like to just notice here, the first one, the depravity of our hearts. The second one is the deception of the heart. The deception of the heart. Where do you get that? Certain of the elders of Israel came and sat before me. They put on a good show. They made it look like they were interested in what the prophet Ezekiel had to say. But God knew exactly the deception of their heart. He knew they weren't interested in, those people weren't interested in hearing the truth from God. That they were just putting on a show. Come and sit. Act like we're interested. Could that be ever happening in some hearts at Hiawatha? Sure it can. We can be here in person, but our hearts can be where? 1,000 miles away, right? But we're here, and it looks like we sing the songs. It looks like we're really interested. The elders came and sat before the prophet. Tell us, Ezekiel, give us a good word from the Lord. In Ezekiel chapter 33, Ezekiel 33, look at verses 31 through 33. Let's start at verse 30. I'm sorry. Verse 30. Also, thou son of man, the children of your people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak every one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come. What is the word that cometh forth from the Lord? And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. They will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after covetousness. And lo, you're unto them as a very lovely sound of one that hath a pleasant voice, can play well on an instrument. They hear your words. Oh, man. You know, we just love to go and hear him preach. But they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. The deception of the heart coming, making it look like we want to know what God says. We want to know what God's will is for our lives. But no intention of ever following through. Deception. Isaiah chapter 29, verses 13, 14, and 15, we read these words. Isaiah 29, 13 through 15. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord. And their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us? Who knoweth us? The idolatry of their heart was just as sinful before the Lord as it was when they were actually bowing before an actual image. As we think back to our text in Ezekiel 14. These people, they're not worshiping me. They don't want to know what I have to say. They're worshiping their idols. They're worshiping in their minds, in their hearts. They're still back there. And then in verses 6 through 8, let's notice number 3, the danger of the heart. We saw the depravity of the heart, the deception of the heart. But notice in verses 6 through 8, the danger of the heart. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me and setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, I will answer him and I will set my face against that man and I will make him a sign and a proverb. I'm going to cut him off from the midst of my people, and you're going to know when I do that, that I am the Lord. God's people can be so, what's the danger of the heart? God's people can be so enslaved to sin secretly that outwardly there's no clue. Outwardly people think their hearts are right and everything is okay. But God saw and revealed to the prophet what was actually going on in their hearts. And that is the danger that we need to bring this to a close with as we think of what we've considered this evening. What's going on in your heart. You say, well, Pastor, there's nothing going on in my heart that isn't right. Well, that's what the elders of Israel would say that sat before Ezekiel the prophet. But the Lord said, Ezekiel, don't be fooled by their presence in front of you. Don't get carried away thinking, wow, we've got a lot of people here for the service tonight. A lot of people are really interested in what's going on as far as the things of the Lord. Not necessarily so. We see it here. And we find the danger seems to be with God's people here, refusing to repent once God pointed out the sin in their life. You see, the sad thing of it is, as the book of Ezekiel goes on, there is no indication that there was ever a great revival among the hearts of God's people. Even as we saw in way back in chapter 33, speaking of that same thing, come hear what the Lord has to say, but in chapter 33, they have no intention of ever doing what you say. It's all a show. God knows our heart. God searches our hearts. We need to take a little inventory. As we look at this, the depravity of the heart, the deception of the heart, the danger. God knows us. Are our hearts, hearts that belong to Him? Or have we given our hearts to something else? Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Father, thank you that we could look at this portion of Scripture and see from your people of old the ability for your own people to put on a show and from outward appearances give every impression that things are right within, but you see our hearts and you were not fooled. You know our hearts and you're not fooled. May our hearts be right before you. May what's going on in our hearts be what is good, godly, and right in your sight. Take us safely to our homes. We thank you in your name. Amen.